KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
A full hour today with Brian Cochran, president at John Moore Associates. Brian, thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, always fun to be in studio.
Yeah, and these Friday financial updates, if there's a couple different places people can go for a lot of the resources that you've been able to provide on this show. Of course, you can go to abqconnect.online and just look for Brian Cochran find the different times we've had discussions on being good stewards with what God has provided for us. One of the other places we always make sure we drive people to is johnmoore.com, because the Insights tab there, it's a free resource with all kinds of great information. And actually, a lot of what we're going to be pulling from today is from a recent post.
Correct. Yeah. We're talking employer benefits today. And our assistant advisor, Kaylee Judge, did a wonderful post on the Insights page on this topic and did a great overview.
Well, in our first segment, we're going to talk about, you know, why is it important to understand your benefits? It's easy to say, well, it's pretty common sense to say, you know, the earlier the better, but there's never a bad time to understand more about your benefits and how to take advantage.
Yeah. And we serve hundreds of families, Steve, and people from all different types of employers, big employers, small. You think of some of the big local employers like Albuquerque Public Schools or Sandia National Labs or Los Alamos Labs. We serve folks in those places, and you'd be amazed how often people come in who've been working at these employers for 5, 10, 20 years.
Yeah.
And they still don't truly understand all the benefits available to them, despite the best efforts of the employer oftentimes to expose the benefits. But also we work with folks who work with really small companies, where the benefits are a significant sacrifice of the employer or a significant investment by the employer. And I really give kudos to a lot of those small companies that are doing a lot in the benefits area. Maybe some of the listeners are small employers that aren't sure what types of benefits to offer. And that could be one of the ancillary benefits of this conversation, is just to open their eyes to what other employers are doing.
Yeah. And actually, I don't want to steal thunder from, I didn't look at all the notes for today. I don't want to steal thunder from later. So stop me if we're going to go there, but you bring up those smaller businesses that are really making somewhat of a sacrifice to make this happen for their employees. Is there a good reason, you know, outside of the sacrifice, that this is really something on that end? You know, we're going to be talking primarily to the people taking advantage of the benefits, but does the employer essentially get a benefit from it?
Yeah, at employee retention. You know, in a competitive marketplace. So some of the folks we serve that are small business owners that are in industries that are hyper-competitive, maybe they're hiring engineers or accountants and things like that, where the unemployment rate is less than 2%. So, you know, trying to keep employees, one of the ways you can do that is offer attractive benefits and then really promote those benefits so people take full advantage of them. And that helps you compete against larger employers where maybe the benefits are sort of a given, but also helps you compete with smaller competitors who maybe just haven't gotten around to it offering those benefits or are not willing to make that investment in their staff.
Yeah, you know, as far when you say that, as far as retention, and this isn't super scientific, but the people that I've had these conversations with, you know, are not enough to be scientific. But as far as retention, I want to imagine that some of the younger people, it doesn't work as well as far as retention because of what we're going to do today, the lack of education of how important these are, and some others who've been, you know, in and out of different workplaces and realize, you know, what they had, mm-hmm. thinking the grass was greener somewhere, you know, it may be more likely to retain them once they land at a place again that has these great benefits.
Yeah, well said. And yeah, I see that a lot of people underestimate the cost and also the benefit of these benefits, the value of these benefits. I think about some of our team members. I mean, you know, for some of the families that are served within our team, you know, we're looking at well over $2,000 a month in benefits alone. So it's easy to undervalue that because the employer is picking up the check, so you don't see the money going out the door. But that would be a costly thing to replace if they didn't have those benefits at the next employer and they wanted to keep keep those insurances or retirement savings. So for, you know, a lot of times we see that with, again, like big public employers like APS or the state or the county, but also large employers like the national labs. A lot of the folks we serve, they are getting well over $2,000 a month in just the benefits value. So it's also an important thing to understand when you're job shopping. You know, if you're coming out of college or you're looking at a new career or you've just gotten reeducated and you're looking at employers, really understanding the benefits packages is huge because, you know, let's say the salaries are same or maybe one salary is a little bit lower, but if the benefits are greater, it might actually be a total package that's much more valuable. So it's something you really need to know whether you're working now, whether you're looking for a job, you know, understand the benefits that you've maybe left on the table, not just the ones you're already enrolled in. Lots of benefit here in digging deeper and knowing the full scope of what's available.
Okay, so let's take that person, first week at a new job, maybe they're very young, maybe their first job, maybe not. What are some things, you know, right off the bat?
Yeah, the two time periods we see most people get exposed to their benefits would be just what you mentioned, either a new employment, whether it's your first job or you're going to a new employer, or an open enrollment. So we can talk about both of those. But that first sign-on, what happens is you're in a time of change, so you kind of ignore the benefits because everything else is changing. Maybe you've just come out of college and you're getting a job, so you're also getting an apartment and you're settling into a new lifestyle. Or maybe you just switched jobs, you've moved to a new state, and you're picking up a new job. So there's so much change that's happening that the orientation that you might receive from your employer that includes an exposure to these benefits, that maybe gets, you know, kind of set aside. Oh, I'll worry about that later. Right now, I've got to figure out where I'm going to live and get my car registered or whatever's changing as you change.
If you don't later, you're going to be worrying about now.
Well, and some of these benefits, you have open enrollment in the fall, but you also have the opportunity to enroll at inception. So it's not always so easy as I'll just do it later. Maybe if you don't do it now, you may not be able to revisit some of these benefits for months. So really slow down during that orientation time as a new employee, or again, during the open enrollment time, really take the time to understand your benefits. These are big decisions, not just in terms of the cost and the possible benefit, but the implications for things like the insurances we'll talk about or the retirement savings. You're making decisions during these periods of orientation or open enrollment that have impact over the rest of your life. It also could have tax impact when you talk about how you save for retirement or how you take your insurance benefits. I mean, there's a lot here that, if ignored, could be a missed opportunity that you could be really kicking yourself down the road.
Yeah. Now, listen, I'm an employee, and I hope this isn't a rarity, but I'm an employee who appreciates what the HR department does for an organization. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go through all the jokes about HR, but they're your friend here. And when you do, you know, land in that situation, you know, this is something you need. You know, hopefully it's a good HR department. They're going to make it clear and encourage you to, you know, get the information and consume it. But maybe, you know, they're getting your, you know, computer set up and your phone, and, you know, there's a chance it's lost in that, you know, be proactive. Would you say, Brian, about reaching out to HR?
Absolutely. Because what you'll usually get is some sort of a PDF document or a paper package that summarizes all the benefits, but they're trying to cover so many benefits often in that summary that you don't really get all the answers in the deep dive. And I'll use an example. I worked with a young woman recently who's going through her residency as she's trained to be a doctor, and she's at UNM Hospital. And they have a wonderful benefits package, but it's very complex and it changes during the residency compared to, you know, most of the folks we serve that work at the hospital are full-on employed physicians.
Yeah.
So we wanted to understand more. So don't be afraid to ask questions. Like you said, the HR people are on your side. They want to help you. And if they don't know the answer, they'll go find it. Yeah. So you may not get an answer on your first email or first phone call, but they'll help you dig up the answers about all of these different benefits we'll be talking about today. So I think that's key, is really understand the full package. And if it's not clear, ask. And you might be thinking, well, I work for a really small employer where there's not an HR department. There's just, you know, the spouse of the owner manages the benefits. Well, ask.
Yeah.
Just ask. And there's a good chance what you're asking is something someone's already asked before and they have the answer, or it's something other people have been wondering and they need to know. So these benefits are offered you know, to be a benefit to you. And if you don't take advantage of them, you're leaving them on the table, and that's a shame.
Yeah, and chances are your employer is wanting the best for you, because as you mentioned before, you know, the better the employee is taken care of, the happier the workplace for everyone, productive, everything. One of the other things before we go to a break, we talk about, you know, the first week or the open enrollment and drinking water from a fire hydrant, all the information. It can become overwhelming, and really in almost in any situation. I'm kind of a practical guy. That's, you know, what I do is, okay, we got to do something. One part, I know there's a lot, but let's take care of this part of it. Mm-hmm. Is this something to apply?
I think so. And the other thing I would suggest is make time, dedicate time to understand it yourself. And then if necessary, simply schedule an appointment with the HR folks. So if you're going through orientation and there's 12 benefits for you to pick from and you've got to make all these choices, well, then set aside, you know, say, I'm going to spend an hour at least on Wednesday night to review this, and then call the HR folks and say, can I have 20 minutes of your time on Friday before I make my elections?
They're probably going to be happy you asked.
Oh, they'll love it. And, everyone's busy, but this is part of their role, is to coach you through this. They may not be able to make recommendations necessarily, but they can help you understand.
Yeah.
And that's key. And then now you're getting off on the right foot, rather than regretting later that you didn't understand it, or, you know, that you missed a benefit you should have taken advantage of. And what I find is the HR folks, as you mentioned, Steve, they're really advocates for you to take full advantage of what the employer offers.
Yeah. And the other thing to mention before going to a break, you know, in this culture, you know, and it's young people and old people alike, you know, you drive around, you see people jogging, you see people, you know, at the burger joint having a nice salad.
Yep.
And you go, that person's taking care of themselves. And it's almost culturally a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
This would kind of fall into that as far as, you know, your self-care regimen.
Yep. Financial self-care, if you will.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Brian, we're going to take a break. And can you give our listener kind of a tease to get through the break? What are we going to come back and talk about?
Yeah. So in our second segment, we'll talk about one of the most common discussed benefits, which is retirement savings.
Okay. All right. We'll get to the details of that with Brian Cochran, John Moore Associates. JohnMoore.com is the website. Remember, the tab we mentioned at the beginning of the show, Insights. There's a recent blog posted there with a lot of other information. It's a searchable tab for all kinds of things related to your finances and stewardship of the resources God's put in your care. We're going to come back and talk more right after the break on ABQ Connect. A full hour today with Brian Cochran from John Moore Associates. In our first segment, if you missed it, just talking about, the whole hour we'll be talking about benefits provided to you by your employer. But in our first segment, you know, really the first part of that and making sure to understand what's available to you. And I think a good takeaway from that segment is make sure you understand. If you're not understanding or seeing what you thought was going to be available, connect with the HR department and ask them for some time to walk you through any questions you might have. And in this segment, we're going to talk about your retirement and Brian, some great opportunities to do things now that when you, I mean, it's rare, Brian, that I hear someone in my age, and I'm not collecting Social Security yet, but I'm getting close. Hear from some my age, it's like, oh yeah, right from the get go, I did this. I did the steps, and man, am I benefiting from it now?
Yep.
And that's our hope, I think, really in this hour, is to connect with someone, whether you know, young, who is just at the beginning of that process, or someone who's further along that hasn't got into it, but it's never too late. But we're going to talk about in this segment about retirement and Although, you know, some people may say, I'm never going to retire. Okay. But as we grow older, things change. We're going to talk about how to take advantage of some of those benefits for retirement.
Yeah. And this is a big area. And some people ask, well, why is it my employer's job to help me retire? And basically the reason why retirement savings are such an employer benefit, such a common employer benefit, is that there are retirement savings structures that Congress has created that create tax incentives for you to save. And they're managed through your employer. And that's the 401k. For a nonprofit, it's a 403b, which is very similar to a 401k. There's also smaller retirement plans called simples and SEPs, and there's different types of plans available. But the idea here is that Congress understands that many of us will live beyond our working years. Therefore, yeah, we need to save for our financial independence, the fact that we can, you know, pay our bills without having employment. So we need to be incentivized and rewarded, if you will, from the tax structure to save for our future. Now, the trade-off of that is, unlike Social Security, which is taken care of for you, both in terms of how much you save and how much you receive, all these other retirement savings plans that you might have available through your employer require action and management on your part.
Right.
So you have to say yes and take action for these benefits to work for you.
You know, and you mentioned Social Security, that's a whole nother hour.
Yeah.
But in this, you know, in the way that with your, you know, whether it's a Roth, traditional or not, your 401k, your 403b, or IRA, what have you, that's on you. Social Security, it's taken out of your check, and the government is managing that. Are you going to count on them to manage that well enough that that's all, you know, there's going to be? And, you know, all the things that I've heard in the last, you know, I'm going to say in the last 20 or 30 years, when I got old enough to start thinking and caring about that, it's a little scary to think, you know, okay, is that going to be it? And it's important that you supplement, but not only supplement, but supplement well. That, and that doesn't necessarily always mean a lot.
Right. And I think, to your point, I think one of the key points here, why you need to take this seriously, is yes, you are contributing to Social Security, but for most of the families we serve, Social Security represents somewhere between 25 and 50% of their retirement income.
Yeah.
So it's maybe half of the equation.
Right.
Everything else is coming from funds.
It's the supplement.
Exactly. And it's a nice baseline to cover maybe some of your basic bills, but to maintain the lifestyle you live today, it's most likely that you will need to take it upon yourself to, you know, defer money till later, save money for later. So that's the key theme here. So the first principle when it comes to retirement savings is you have to start early. You need to start early. Certainly some folks have built successful retirement savings plans by starting later, but it requires a lot more from you. Mm-hmm. So what I like to tell people here is, if you feel like you can't afford to save 5% of your income when you're 20, 30, think how hard it's going to be to save 25% of your income in your 40s and 50s when you're trying to play catch up. Because time, the magic of compound interest, means that time is your greatest benefit here. So if you can start in your 20s or 30s and start building some momentum, it really pays off later, both because you've made the habit of savings, but also because the money you've accumulated is now compounding for your benefit. So the key here is, as you sit down, you go through that orientation or that open enrollment, understanding, do I have a retirement savings plan available? We used to do more of this work. We've since stopped doing a lot of the employer retirement plans. But when we used to do this, we'd only get about maybe one out of four or one out of five people at enrollment meetings would actually start saving in the retirement plan.
Wow.
And that's with a lot of encouragement and helping understand the benefits. It needs to be 100%. If you're listening to this and you're working and you have an employer-sponsored plan, I don't care if there's a match or not, you need to be saving for your future.
Was there a demographic of that 25% you mentioned, one in four, that, you know, were they the older people in the crowd? Were they I don't know what.
It's a mix.
Yeah.
You would think it's just the younger people who aren't thinking about retirement yet, but a lot of people in their 40s and 50s would also elect not to save.
Yeah.
And I know money can be tight. I totally understand that. When I was just starting my career and, you know, we went to a one income household and my first child was born, money was very tight. We still saved in our retirement plan every paycheck because it's just so critical. And again, starting young is so important. So the key here is save from the start. And then the question then comes, well, how much? Yeah. The minimum you should save is if your employer offers any form of an employer match, you need to at least take advantage of that because that's money you can't leave on the table. So most employer matches will vary somewhere between 3% and 6%. You see, you know, really generous plans where the employer might contribute more, and that's great. But that would be, you know, you have to contribute something to get something back from the employer. And it's a great way to double your money instantly. And it also, I mean, it's just amazing how fast the retirement funds will build. One of the areas that makes this hard for young people is the growth doesn't happen a lot at the beginning. So think about it. If you're saving $100 a pay period, $200 a month, at the end of the first year, you've maybe put away a couple thousand dollars and the employer matched that. So let's say you've put away $4,000 or $5,000 and you're thinking, wow, I feel like I'm making lifestyle sacrifices. And the, you know, the market returns on that won't be great in dollar terms because you just don't have a lot saved. But if you allow that to grow and compound, I can tell you, having served again hundreds of families, there's a lot of folks who I work with today that have seven-figure, multi-million-dollar retirement savings.
Yeah.
All they did was just start saving early. They didn't do anything magical with their investments. They didn't ever save, you know, 80% of their income. They just always saved. They never stopped. And they let time work to their benefit.
Yeah, and see that compound over the years. Yeah, yeah. Early, it's a little defeating to look. Don't look at it. That's what I often tell my kids and friends. They're don't look. You know, how close are you?
Yeah.
Don't even look at it. Quick question, Brian. Don't know if you intended to go into this. And if we're getting into the weeds, let me know. A couple of things. You know, some people plan well, they're doing well, and others don't. The thought, though, you know, an inheritance comes. And I'm thinking, I guess my first thought was for that person that's like, I'm having a rough time. And when you're having a rough time and things are tight and inheritance comes, it's easy to go take the big trip. And, you know, but you can put that inheritance to work for you to get caught up.
Yeah, what we often see is whether it's inheritance or a bonus or you sell some sort of asset, something happens where you get cash flow. One of the best ways, specific to this retirement savings concept, one of the best ways to manage that is look for debts you can pay off or reduce. And then with the money you are no longer contributing every month towards that debt, whether it's a car loan or a student loan, you know, reallocate a percentage of that towards your retirement savings. So let's say I have a car loan and it's $10,000 and it's $500 a month that I'm paying on it, and I get an inheritance or a bonus, and I can pay off that loan. Well, I just freed up $500 a month of cash flow.
Yeah.
Maybe then I'll bump up my retirement savings by $200, $300 a month, and then I can spend the other amount or give the other amount. But we often see people miss those opportunities. So they're always, oh, it's too tight, I can't save. But I've honestly met people whose incomes have tripled in their careers and they still say they don't have room to save. They just never allocate that next increase in their income.
Faithful with a little. You got to start early, not only saving, but practicing the right things. The other quick question I had, now, this one is like me. I'm primarily putting into a retirement. I'm not doing anything else. Quite honestly, I kind of half heard something somewhere else recently. Is it ever a thought to move money from your 401k or 403b that's, you know, it's growing, but to take a portion of it out of it somewhere you can move it with no fees where it can grow in a different way?
Yeah, what we often find is, especially with large employers, the investment options you have available inside your 401k might be as low cost as you're going to have access to. There's something called institutional class investments, so specifically mutual funds that you might buy in your retirement plan. that you cannot get access to that low cost version of an investment because the employer plan is, you know, you're investing hundreds or thousands of employees' funds in some cases. So they're able to drive those costs down. The greatest example of that is the employer sponsored savings. It's called the Thrift Savings Plan, available for federal government employees, is serving millions of employees, military and government employees. So their costs are rock bottom low. So to move that money out, you're probably incurring actually more costs when it comes to accessing investments. The other thing is it's nice to keep things consolidated. So there can be benefits to moving it out of the employer plan. There's no question. But you have to weigh the trade-offs of that, right?
Yeah.
Because you're probably having to make more options, you know, more decisions yourself versus having a smaller investment pool. So saving in the employer plan is often the best place to start saving for retirement because A, you're getting the match. B, you're possibly getting a lower cost investment than you could find on your own, right? And C, it's so automated. You know, anything else you do will be a matter of you receiving money into your bank account and then making the decision to save. Versus in the employer plan, it's coming out before the money hits your pocket.
Right.
So that's nice in terms of just the cognitive aspects of it's hiding money from yourself.
Discipline becomes a real factor there.
Yeah. So it's nice to have something that's just happening, you know, again, okay. Like we talked about.
Let's forget I brought that up.
it's an important question because a lot of people think about that. Like, oh, I don't, you know, because you have stock market investments in your retirement plan most times, and they see those go up and down. They go, well, I'd rather take that out and buy gold or buy real estate. And those things you can do, but I think that's more a matter of ignorance about investing in the market, which is fair. Again, this is the challenge we have is we are stewards of this. We have to manage it wisely. If we're not equipped and educated, we're more likely to make decisions that aren't in our best interest.
Yeah, and I think the basis of my question was primarily diversifying your diversification.
Yeah.
but I love the answer. It's good insight. And the other thing I maybe touched on a little bit, but I want to hit this home again. Your employer may not offer something, find something, and it's probably worth the investment to find someone that can walk you through your best options for that. So consider that as well. We're going to take another break. We got two more segments. Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, is our guest for the full hour today. And Brian, when we come back, what's going to be our focus?
We'll kind of transition to talking more about protection. So we've talked about savings, and we'll talk more about the insurance side, starting with health insurance.
Okay. All right. We'll do that when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. It's Friday, and with that typically comes our Friday financial update. And often at the end of the month, as we are now, we get a full hour with Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, johnmoore.com. And, of course, the Insights tab is where you'll find blog postings from Brian and his team at no cost. This is an opportunity to get a lot of information that you may not even know is available to you. And Brian, along with thanking you again for being here, before we jump into the topic of benefits and insurance provided by the employer, that Insights tab, let's just focus there for a minute. Why? What's the why there?
Yeah, we just found that a lot of people ask us regularly, where can I learn more about money? What should I be reading? And what we found when we looked out into the marketplace is a lot of financial news is shocking headlines about the stock market and buy these funds today. And these are six high dividend stocks you might consider, and not really helpful information for people trying to be wise stewards. And so we said, well, we'll just create that content ourselves and address the topics we hear most often from the families we serve and the folks we're talking to in the community. So that, we basically are guided in terms of what we address by our, the listeners here, the clients we serve. So it's just our way to kind of pass along, hopefully timeless and transcendent principles to folks who can use it.
And it's timely and relevant, and it's a free resource. So go to johnmoore.com, click on the Insights tab. You'll find a lot of what we're talking about today in a blog posted by one of the staff at John Moore Associates. All right, in this segment, Brian, health and protection, insurance, things we should consider. Especially offered by our employer.
Yeah, and this is, for some people, retirement plans are the first thing they think of with employer benefits. if it's not retirement plans first, it's probably health insurance first. And that changed a little bit after the Affordable Care Act passed, because that gave people access to an exchange where, you know, they're guaranteed to get insurability, and some things changed in that time. But, you know, most people who are working still are looking at their employer for coverage. And this is an area where I feel like people don't leave this benefit on the table as much, because they understand the value of health insurance. They know they have to have it. So unlike retirement savings, where they feel like, oh, I'll maybe make space for that in my budget, the health insurance component is sort of an automatic. And we see a very wide range when it comes to what health insurance might be offered by an employer, and how much is paid. You know, at our firm, we pay 100% of premiums for employees and their families. Some people pay 100% of the employee, but then they have to pay extra if they're going to cover their spouse or their children or both. So you see a lot of variance here. But the key theme here is that I see a lot of people who have multiple health plans offered. They know they need the health insurance. They know their employer is going to cover some or all of the costs, but they spend very little time understanding the difference between the health plans that are offered. And I find that to be a big mistake, because everybody's health needs are different. Everybody's budget's different. And based on how you expect to use the health care, how much you have in savings to go towards your deductibles and copays, you know, the out-of-pocket components of your healthcare, you know, you can really make a lot of different decisions here that could be the difference of several hundred dollars a month.
Yeah.
In terms of your monthly premiums as well as your out-of-pocket.
Well, and again, this isn't scientific. I'm almost holding up a mirror when I think of, you know, me and how I've thought about health coverage, and the older I've gotten. And I don't spend a lot of time at the doctor's office. I mean, I'm not the healthiest guy, but I'm not, you know, I don't have any serious ailment that is impacting my finances yet. But the older you get, the more you realize it's not a bad gamble to put money towards this and plan. You know, hope for the best, plan for the worst.
And the biggest decision we see on this, Steve, for folks, you mentioned not going to the doctor a lot, is how much healthcare do I expect I might need? Now, part of the reason you have health insurance is for the unexpected.
Yeah.
All of us can have a sudden health event, whether it's an injury or accident or, something like a heart episode, or, you know, there's a lot of things that can go wrong, cancer. But for a lot of people, the real decision they make on their health insurance is, do I want a low deductible plan or a high deductible plan? So low deductible plan is one where you're going to pay more out of pocket each month. But when it comes time to make a claim, if something happens, your out of pocket costs are less. You're passing more risk onto the insurance company. What we've seen really become popular post Affordable Care Act, kind of the irony of the Affordable Care Act, is health insurance premiums have continued to skyrocket. So a lot of people are saving money on their monthly premiums by electing to go to high deductible plans. And we've seen some employers are only offering higher deductible plans because the premiums are so expensive that that's all the employer can afford, is a high deductible plan. And so a high deductible plan is where you pay a lower premium each month, but if something were to happen, you're subject to more cost, whether it's your normal checkup type stuff or a big health event. So what we generally see here, Steve, is for a lot of our younger folks, if they're in great health, they will elect to go with a high deductible plan, save themselves costs on the monthly premiums, and just hopefully take good care of themselves, and hopefully nothing happens. My only concern with that is if you have a high deductible plan, you better also have a high balance in your savings account, because something may happen. And what you don't want to happen is that if there is a medical episode of some sort, a medical cost, that's going on your credit card, and building up debt because of your medical expenses. I think that's been an unfortunate trend as people have moved towards high deductible.
Yeah, and not to be Debbie Downer, Dennis Downer, but, you know, and this broadcast is in Albuquerque, New Mexico. High crime, and have you driven on the freeways? we talk about health, thinking, you know, your heart, your lungs, you know, cancer. An F-350 and the side of a, you know, Nissan is not healthy.
Right.
I think the younger you are, the more you know, you think these things aren't going to happen or you're invincible. It's just, it's a natural thing. And at a young age, just like, and an old age, it's important to consider these coverages. I know that there's a lot more to it than, you know, just simply health insurance, that we can talk about.
Yeah. And I think the key there is that for most high deductible plans, we see the max out of pocket, the most you would pay yourself before the insurance is covering everything on any given year is about $7,000. So again, once you think about if you want to be prepared for a major health event, having a $7,000 bank account makes a lot of sense if you're trying to avoid debt. Now, one good thing about high deductible plans is if you are enrolled in a high deductible plan, whether your employer offers it or not, you could be eligible to contribute to a health savings account or HSA, which is probably the most tax advantaged savings tool you're going to find out there. The way an HSA works is it allows you to save money into this specific account that can only be used for health expenses. If it's used for anything else, there's a significant IRS penalty. But you put money in there, and when you put the money in, it reduces your taxable income, your gross income, actually. So if I put in $5,000 in my health savings account for tax purposes, is I just deleted $5,000 of income off of my tax return.
Yeah.
Then it can grow. You can earn interest, or you can even invest it in stock-based mutual funds, things like that. So you can grow that HSA balance, and that grows without tax. So you're not paying taxes. You grow dividends and interest. And then when I take the money out, as long as I use it for a qualified health expense, it's also tax-free upon withdrawal.
Oh. Yeah.
So if you're in one of those high deductible plans, what I recommend is definitely start putting money in an HSA, understanding that at some point you will have medical expenses. And worst case scenario, you're saving money in a way that's saving you taxes and building up a balance. For a lot of our clients who are higher income, we actually just build up the HSA as if it's another retirement savings account.
Yeah.
And part of the bill that's been proposed, that's been passed by Congress, would actually dramatically increase the amount we can put in these HSAs. So there's a lot of benefit there. And if you have an HSA offered by your employer, the best way to save in an HSA is through a payroll deduction, just like your 401k and other benefits. And the reason for that is if you save in an HSA just at your local bank or any other provider, there's different places you can go to open a health savings account, then you reduce your income for state and federal tax purposes. But if you save in your HSA directly through your employer, you don't pay state income tax on those dollars. You don't pay federal income tax, but you also don't pay payroll taxes. So it really saves you a lot of taxation when you're putting money in that health savings account. So even if you can only do $50 or $100 a pay period to start building your HSA, highly recommend you consider that as a great complement to a high deductible plan.
And a real quick question about the, because I was thinking, okay, what if, you know, healthy, you know, and I'm thinking getting age, but maybe not age, but you're doing an HSA, and, you know, tax-free, you know, going in and tax-free coming out if you're using it for a medical, you know, issue, say end of life occurs. And we could do a whole nother show on how to prepare for taking care of your family when you're gone. But what happens with that tax-wise when you pass?
Well, often, Steve, what we see is that gets spent on end-of-life care.
Okay.
Because most of us, if we pass away, maybe it's cancer or something like that.
Less likely, but say an accident occurs, sudden death.
You know, I'm not sure, Steve. I've never actually had to pass one of those from one person to the next. So maybe I'll look that up and we'll hit that on the next segment.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to throw a zinger. It was a real question.
Okay. It's a great question.
Okay. And then a couple of other things to consider when it comes to insurance, Brian, disability and life.
Yeah. So disability and life are two areas that I often see overlooked when they're offered by employers. They're not always offered, but they are frequently part of a benefits package. Disability income insurance is, in my opinion, probably the most important of those two. It's insurance that kicks in if you cannot work because of a disability. It provides monthly income to help cover your bills until you can get back in the workplace. So rather than just stop earning income, the insurance company is going to pay usually somewhere between 50 and 70% of your income to you. That income, if the disability insurance premium is covered by the employer, then the benefits you receive from the disability insurance would be taxable as income. if you are paying for the disability insurance, even if it's an employer benefit, but if you are covering the premiums, that benefit you receive is free of income tax. So imagine, you know, if you were disabled, if you had 60 cents on the dollar of your normal earnings coming in without any income tax, you're probably able to pay most of the bills you paid before. But a high percentage, something around 25 to 30% of people will face some form of a disability during their working years. So it's an important risk to cover. And then life insurance, most people are familiar with. If you pass away, there's a lump sum death benefit that's paid income tax free to your heirs. If you are single, you don't have any children, you don't have a spouse, you don't have any major debts, life insurance may not be a high priority. But if you have a family that depends on your income, then having both disability and life insurance are strong considerations.
Yeah. Another question, Brian. That single person who is trying to be a good steward of what God has given them, and I know at John Moore Associates you encourage generosity. Mm-hmm. Is this a way for a single person to invest? Can that be given to a nonprofit at end of life?
Yeah, you can name a nonprofit as a beneficiary of life insurance.
There you go.
So there's a lot of different ways you can leverage that. The biggest thing I'd mention in terms of employer benefits when it comes to life insurance is if you've had health issues in the past, cancer, you know, chronic illness.
Or your family.
And you cannot qualify for life insurance by going and applying on your own. Oftentimes what you'll find is employer benefits will offer some amount, either as a multiple of your income or some fixed amount that says, hey, we'll give you up to $300,000 of coverage with no health questions.
Yeah.
Well, if you just had a recent bout with cancer and that increases your mortality risk, the risk that you might die, you know, most insurance companies aren't going to touch you.
Yeah.
But your employer benefit might qualify you for a guaranteed issue life insurance where you can get a certain amount without any health questions. That could be a incredible value for someone with health history issues.
Okay. And real quick, before we go to a break, Brian, how important is it to ask your employer? Many organizations partner with supplemental insurance companies. How important is it to ask about that?
I think it's great. Yeah. Because there can be a whole list of different benefits beyond disability and life. There could be long-term care benefits. There could be pet insurance. There could be, there's a ton of different coverages out there. That may be very valuable for you. It might be a heck of a lot cheaper to obtain through your employer than on your own.
All right. Our full hour today with Brian Cochran, president at John Moore Associates. JohnMoore.com is the website where you'll find the Insights tab that, as we mentioned in each segment, a recent blog posting from part of the team at John Moore Associates has put this information together. Of course, you can always come back to abqconnect.online and look for the archive of our conversation with Brian, but that Insights tab at johnmoore.com, another great resource at no cost. Coming up after the break, Beyond the Basics, and we'll explore hidden and overlooked employer benefits after this on ABQ Connect. Our final segment of ABQ Connect today on this Friday is typically a Friday financial update. We've been fortunate to have the full hour today as our Friday financial update with President of John Moore Associates, Brian Cochran. Brian, thanks again for coming. It's always an education, and I always appreciate it. It makes me think of things. Wait, I need to check that. But I've learned a lot through these visits, and I hope our audience is not only taking notes, but letting others know where they can find the Insights tab at johnmoore.com, as well as the archive of our conversations at abqconnect.online. We've been talking about employee benefits or employer benefits offered to their employees. We talked about starting, you know, strong, saving, and then we talked about retirement and those things offered through the employer, health insurance, life insurance in our last segment. And our final segment now, some of the things that may be overlooked when it comes to employer benefits.
Yeah, and I think these will be a bit rapid fire, but let's fly through some of these. The first one that seems so obvious, Steve, but I see people don't always understand, is just their paid time off policies.
Yeah.
Can you carry over from one year to the next? You know, how can you use that? You know, if you can build up a bank of PTO so that you can use it for the next year if you have a big trip planned or something like that, or how does your sick leave work versus just general leave? And understanding those benefits is huge.
PTO, real quick, too. There may be a bucket that can fill so much. There's also, you know, often when people leave employment, if they have PTO in that bucket, sometimes it's that full amount that you're able to keep while you're employed is not the same as what you can cash out when you leave the employment.
Yep. And closely related to that is parental leave, you know, maternity and paternity leave. And the biggest thing I'd say here is a lot of people know what they have, but let's say if my wife and I are considering starting a family and she's working and I'm working, really try to understand what's the flexibility and how you obtain that benefit or how you use that benefit. So for example, we had a client recently where we coached them where the wife took her maternity leave for the first, I think it was 12 weeks. And then the husband had, I think, 8 weeks of leave, but he could use it really within the first year. So we kind of piggybacked them. So she was on leave for the first 3 months, then he took 2 months of leave, helped give them more flexibility for their family. So understanding, especially for both parties, how that leave might work. And then once that kid's born and you have some childcare expense,
yeah.
One thing we see people leave on the table all the time is a childcare flexible spending account, or FSA. Flexible spending accounts are where you can put money in, like the HSA, pre-tax. So you're putting money away tax-free, and then you can use that towards childcare expenses. Huge benefit.
Keep your receipts.
Yep. Document. The next one is education perks, understanding what your employer offers in terms of tuition reimbursement, student loan repayment, continuing education. So even just working within your industry. And then the next one I find is frequently missed is wellness benefits. Does your employer, especially if you're working for a large employer, or does your employer's health insurance offer any discounted or free gym memberships?
Oh, yeah, so right.
If you're trying to take good care of yourselves, gym memberships can be expensive. We often see that health plans or the employer themselves will have some sort of a discounted gym membership. So if you're trying to cut your bills down, maybe that's may not be your favorite gym, but if it's a free one,
yeah,
boy, that puts it higher on the list.
And by the way, the real free one is right out your front door around the block.
Yeah, just get moving. And then we also see along those lines, some health plans will offer discounts for wellness screenings. And so if you can prove, if you do a blood test or you can prove that you're not a tobacco user. There's all these things that you can do that will lower your cost of your health insurance or provide some sort of a incentive.
Yeah, the one that comes up often is those two free cleanings in dental. That's a very common one, someone is often overlooked, or ignored.
Yeah. Well, we've seen, I can't remember which employer it was, it's one of the local medical networks had a benefit where if you'd go in and do like they do like your blood pressure or basic blood work, if you were in good health, I mean, it's instant discounts on health insurance.
Yeah.
So just that one trip, save you several hundred dollars a month in some cases. And then there's other insurances we didn't already discuss, things like dental. You just mentioned vision. Dental insurance, when you go get it privately, isn't always a great deal. But if your employer's covering most or all of the costs, understand what you have and how you can leverage it. And then same with vision. And then we see accident, critical illness. So that's like insurance specifically for cancer or things like that, you may be offered. So if you have that family history, you might consider that. Or if you have cancer in your background, maybe something you can still obtain. And then a new one we see, I think of one of my employees who has three dogs, pet insurance. Sometimes you can get discounted rates of pet insurance. So your employer may not cover any of that.
Yeah.
But if you can get 20, 30, 40% cheaper premiums, looking at through your employer before you look at it in the private market could make sense.
I talked to at least two people in the last week or two that talked about, and listen, these are family members, the pets.
Sure.
And the thousands of dollars that can be, he swallowed a sock, it's not uncommon, or something else. Things to ask about that you may not be thinking about.
And then last thing I would note that has come up as a great benefit for some folks is legal and financial services. So we've seen everything from access to financial coaching resources through the HR portal, where it'll help you understand all these benefits, but also give you principles for good money decisions. Access to legal advice. So some places you can even get discounted legal advice or discounted access to attorneys to do basic wills and trusts, things like that. And then identity theft protection can be part of that. So all of these benefits are sort of floating around. You just have to take advantage of them. And then one of the greatest ones we've seen is access to financial counseling. You know, we've seen some employers that will pay for people to go through Financial Peace University, which is Dave Ramsey's course,
yeah.
or they'll pay for subscriptions to Faithfi and other tools that are available to employers, and they can get coaching there. It takes a little humility to come in and say, I think I need help here. But keep your eyes and ears open for these resources, because again, your employer's footing the bill, and it's to your benefit.
Yeah. And to the humility and the feel on that, let me say this. I've taken advantage of those over the years. And the people that are there to provide that kind of assistance, more often than not, I can't ever think of a time that they weren't excited mm-hmm. that you were making a change in the poor choices that you've made, potentially, to do things better. Or maybe you're doing things pretty good. You want to do them better. Believe me, the people that teach that are going to be excited that you're asking the questions yep. and taking the steps.
Absolutely. And we all have something to learn. And if anything, it's encouragement and reinforcement that you're doing the right things. And we all kind of need that, because all this requires discipline and consistency. So, you know, overall, the biggest theme here, if there's one thing you take away, you know, if you don't remember the details about what an HSA is versus an FSA or what type of 401k savings options are best, just the awareness. So make sure you take your open enrollment period, which usually happens in the fall for most employers. Take that time seriously. If you're going to a new employer, asking those questions, don't just take the little benefits PDF or handout they give you and just toss it aside, say, I'll worry about that later. Take the time. You're leaving money on the table. And in the case of the insurances, you might be leaving protection on the table that could be very valuable for your family. And if you're not sure how to unpack all this, talk to the HR folks. And if that doesn't do it, reach out to an independent financial advisor that can walk you through and say, well, here's some things you might consider based on your unique situation. And the key here too, I would note, I hear a lot from people, oh, the guy that works next to me, or you know, there's someone else in my department that's doing this. That's helpful to know what others are doing, but these benefits are often very different in terms of what's in your best interest from one employee to the next. So while it's great to get some advice and coaching from your peers, because they might open your eyes to benefits you weren't aware of, start there, but make sure you understand what's best for you, for yourself, your family, and then go forward and take advantage of those benefits.
All right, Brian Cochran, president of John Moore Associates, has been our guest for the full hour today. JohnMoore.com, and we've mentioned the Insights tab, where a lot of this information came from a recent blog posting from one of the staff at John Moore Associates. Brian, looking forward on Insights. Anything to watch for in the coming weeks?
Well, we'll probably be unpacking the tax bill that's going through right now, probably in the form of a video, because it's a lot to unpack, as well as some written content. So look for that once we get a conclusion from the Senate.
All right. Thanks for joining us on ABQ Connect.
ABQ Connect is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of KLYT.